Desire your prayers this morning. Last two Sundays, we've had the Lord send us a visiting minister along the way, and I say, Lord, I'm getting a little rusty, so you pray for me, and the Lord will help us be able to deliver the burden that I have. If you're here today, I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. I mean, He loves you. I believe that's the most powerful force in this world upon mankind is love. And Jesus loves you. He loved you yesterday. He loves you today, and He'll love you tomorrow. And He proved His love by giving His life for every one of us, that you and I could live forever with Him. But I think about His love and how genuine that it is, that even when we disappoint Him, even when we don't do things maybe the way we ought to do them, He still loves us. He loves us so much that He will go to whatever is necessary to get us back in line if we get out of line. He loves us so much that He cares about everything that touches our life. I was thinking about Jesus' love and how genuine and wonderful that it is. It always makes you feel good to know that someone loves you. Makes you feel good. Doesn't make you feel so good if you find out someone hates you. But it makes you feel good if you find out that someone loves you. And I was thinking about love in the world today. I've learned over the last several years that love is a word that's thrown around by a lot of people, even in families. I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. Children, it's easy for them to tell us they love us. But you know, I'm really more interested in the way they're living their lives. And even though some of us, well, if we have adult children, we probably all have children that tell us they love us, but in their actions and the way that they conduct their lives, they hurt us at the same time they love us. We get hurts and we get pains, we get sorrows, griefs, and disappointments because of the way we see others live. And it appears sometimes that the word love has been kind of watered down, doesn't have the meaning that it once did. When you tell someone you love them, you act like you love them. You show them love. You show them kindness. You show them consideration. When you tell someone you love them, they want to be able to feel comfortable in your presence. They want to be able to have a feeling of love back towards you. And they want it to be genuine. And that's one thing about God and His love for us. It's genuine. There's no deceitfulness in it. He doesn't tell us today that He loves me and then later on today he turns His back on me and He does something against me that hurts me and causes me grief and remorse. Jesus don't do those kind of things with us, does He? But people will do those things, and I think about the world that we live in, and I start with this thought of love, because as I said, it's a great force in mankind. It's the strongest force. Love will cause people to do things that hate would never do. But yet, we look at our world and our society and our country today and we see the direction that it's going. And I look upon that and I think, well, I don't believe it's going that direction because everybody loves one another. Because if everybody loves one another, they got to sure have a poor way of showing it. But I think it's going that direction because love has lost the meaning that it ought to have in the hearts of men and women. First of all, in order for you and I to be successful to love one another, we must love God. We must have His love shed abroad in our hearts, as the Scripture says. We have to have Him love us, and we have to love Him first before we really have the capacity to love others as we ought to. Before we really have the capacity to understand what love is. Love means that I care about you. I'm concerned about you. What touches you touches me. That's love. And the saints are to have love one for another, aren't we? We have love one for another, and that causes us to care about what happens in your life, in each other's lives, because we have love for one another. Now, because love is not what it ought to be today, you can say, well, that's your opinion, but I believe it's pretty obvious love is not what it ought to be today. Our world is broken. It's broken. The systems that God put in place for man to live by, the government that He gave you and I, the guidelines that He gave you and I to live in this world, it's broken. And I believe it's broken because people don't know how to love today. People have given themselves over to so much selfishness and selflessness that it's really when life becomes all about them now, and when life is all about me, I don't know how to love you as I ought to love you. Say, well, I love you, but I'm going to do this. I know it's going to hurt you. I know it's going to cause you grief. I know it's going to cause you sorrow, but I want you to know I love you. Folks, that word's thrown around sometimes, and it's just lost its meaning. In a lot of places and in a lot of ways. The broken world that we live in today. There's so many things that are broken. You know, in dealing with just things in general in life, if you have something that's not working and it's broken, it's pretty much useless, isn't it? Think of a blender. If you got a blender and you want to blend up something and it's broken, it's not much use to you. Either you get it fixed or you throw it away. And as I look at the world that we live in today and all the brokenness, more importantly, in people's lives, I don't see anybody hardly wanting to bring their broken things to Jesus. That's the one that can repair it. I was thinking this morning, kind of a maybe ridiculous little thought that I had on the way to service. But I thought about, y'all heard about the Maytag repairman? Said he's lonely because Maytags are such good appliances that they never need any repair. I wonder sometimes how lonely Jesus feels. He looks around and sees all the brokenness, all the things that are not working. The desires that people have. People get up every day and they do the same old thing every day, hoping for a different result. But it's all broken. Why is it broken? Because the way they're living is outside of God's plan. It's outside of God's will. Folks, we can't push past that. We can't force ourselves to live a good life here. We can't. Without us having a relationship with God. And I think about so many things this morning. People have dreams. They have desires. They have wants. And our wants can deceive us. They have all kinds of relationships today. Never satisfied. That's part of our problem, it seems, that people are never satisfied with what they have. Happiness is not having everything that you want. Happiness is being satisfied with what you have. People aren't satisfied today. And the saddest part of that is that in marriages, people are not satisfied today. You know, I'm thinking of some things and I realize that I need to be careful here because some of this is very sensitive to me. But when I hear a husband or a wife tell each other they love each other, And the first time something, a little spat comes along or a little difficulty comes along, the next thing out of the mouth is maybe we need to get a separation or maybe we need to get a divorce. That's not love, folks. That might be infatuation. It might be, you might be fooling yourself and thinking that you have a relationship there that you don't really have. Because God's not in it. And you say, oh, I love you, oh, I love you. You know, I've seen things posted, as you was talking about this morning. Oh, my wonderful husband this, and my wonderful husband that, and he's done this, and he's done that. And then I hear later that they've had this little spat and find out that they want their husband out of the house. Love is in the will, folks. That's what love is. It's in the will. You will yourself to love that person. Whenever you've made your vows and commitments to one another, you will yourself to love them. I want to tell you, it's becoming a real challenge to me sometimes in dealing with my own family and seeing how the relationships are so broken and falling apart today because people don't know God. They just don't know God. I'd like to look at a scripture. It's found in Romans, the second chapter. I don't know where all I'm going to go with this today, but I've asked the Lord to take it. Romans 2 and verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance of his long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You know, I wonder sometimes when I look around and I see people in relationships, I wonder what kind of treasures that they're laying up. You know how things are in real life when you do good for 20 years and everybody talks about how good you do and you mess up one time? And that's what they remember? That's the way people are. You mess up just one time. You done good for 20 years, but you messed up one time, and that's what everybody remembers. There's a man in the Bible back in David, King David's time, that he had a son named Absalom. You all know the story, so I'm not going to go over there and read it. But Absalom had a half-sister named Tamar, and he had a brother named Amnon. Amnon took advantage of his sister, made her lie with him, and Absalom, he got anger in his heart. He got hatred in his heart. He got strife in his heart. He got the get-even desire in his heart. And Absalom waited 2 years, but he waited. But he never forgot what Amnon did to their sister. And Amnon carried that thing, laying up this treasure here, and all the time building and building and building and building and breaking this relationship to the point where in 2 years' time, Absalom finally got his revenge and had his brother killed because of what he had done. Absalom was a man that laying up treasures, his vision didn't go out and see the real positive things that God had to offer him. His vision was right here. The things that was happening right in front of him. The people that were doing him wrong. The things that he desired. The things that he wanted. He wanted to sit on the throne, you know. And he even ran his own father out of the city. David and his own son Absalom, they didn't have a good relationship. And then when Absalom was killed, that's one of the saddest verses in the Old Testament. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, how often I would have died for thee. You know, I don't know how you live your life, But I try the best that I know how by the grace of God to live my life in such a way that when I leave this world, I won't have any regrets or sorrows laid on me. After that, Absalom died, you can hear the grief and the cry and the sorrow in David's voice. And folks, all that went to the grave. Once it goes to the grave, it can never be changed and never be repaired. Oh, I love you. Do you? Do you really love me? Do you love me the way the Lord loves me? You know, I can trust the Lord's love. Because as the song says, no matter what happens, He'll care for me. No matter what happens. No matter what He allows to come along in my life, no matter what He works for me, I know one thing for sure, and I've really had to talk to a lot of people lately that said, you know, Brother Larry, this thing has really been tough, but I know one thing, I know Jesus cares for me, and I know He's going to do the right thing for me, and I know He cares about my soul. Amen. Folks, that's encouraging to me to know that Jesus cares. He cares about you. How many people do you know in your mind this morning that are probably living a hard, maybe even miserable life because of quick decisions? Quick decisions. Saw something and I want it. I heard about that in Sunday school this morning. That's the world we live in today, the microwave age. I want it, and I want it now. And people are making quick decisions. Folks, my heart goes out to this young world today. These young people out there that are they think they're falling in love with someone. Someone, they got this infatuation, and they think they're falling in love, and they don't even really know and understand the whole circumstance of it all. Some of them get married just on the spur of the moment. Quick decisions. I'm going to tell you something, saints, about quick decisions. They can haunt you for years. They can follow you for years. And I want to tell you, you can treasure up all the things that you want to treasure up under yourself. Wrath against the day of wrath. After your hard and impenitent heart. And that's the world that we struggle to live in today. People that have hard and impenitent hearts. People that are so shallow in their thinking. So shallow in their life. No real substance. Not willing to listen to counsel. Not willing to take advice from those that have been down that road. Those that have been down that path and have already experienced the heartaches and already experienced the sadness. They've been down that road and they're not willing to listen and take counsel. No, this is what I want. I've seen it and you've seen it time and time again. But just remember, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves them too, doesn't He? He loves us. You know, sin. That's the culprit. That'll keep us out of heaven, won't it? The Bible says that he in James, he that knoweth to do good and that doeth it not, to him it is sin. Lord, help us. I want to bring this down. I don't see a bunch of unsaved people in here that I know of. I want to bring it down to where you and I are living right here today. Right down where you and I are living here today. You know what you need to do, but are you doing it? You know what you should have done in that particular circumstance, but did you do it? Did you do it according to what you wanted, according to your hard and impenitent heart, or did you do it the way God wanted you to do it? Did you seek the Lord about it? Did you put Him in the equation when you made your decisions that you make in life? I think this affects every one of us. I know it affects me. It affects every one of us. Sin is by decision. When we choose to go down that path, we chose it. It's our choice. We don't have to choose that way, but it's our choice to go down that path. And the more that we choose to go down that path, you know what happens in people's hearts? They begin to reject the mercy of God. And one of the real burden I believe I have this morning is, folks, people become so insensitive to what the will of God is. They become so insensitive to what the Word of God says that it doesn't seem to have the meaning that it once had or that it ought to have upon our hearts and upon our lives and how we live our lives. Are you sensitive today to the things of God? I believe from experience and what I've seen that the more insensitive people are, the harder they become. The harder they become. We'll look at a scripture in Ecclesiastes. I asked you at the beginning to pray for us. We want the Lord to bless and say whatever He wants said. Ecclesiastes in the 9th chapter, in the 11th verse, he said, I returned and saw under the sun. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You know, when he uses that phrase, chance, reminds me of that casino down here on the Ohio River. Haven't heard it much lately, but I used to hear about them advertise that casino, wanting people to come down, and says, chances are, or odds are is what it says, you'll have fun. That's the odds. Do you know we all play with odds in life? How many of you sitting right here today, and I'm just as guilty as any of us, you have a spare tire in your vehicle? Do we have spare tires? When's the last time you checked to see if it was had air in it? I'll be quite frank with you this morning, folks. If I had to put a spare tire on the way home, I don't know if my tire's got air in it or not, because I never check it. And I never look at it. But yet we get out here on these highways. We may even take a trip. Brother John and I went down to Miami, Florida last year. Sorry, Brother John. I don't know if that, I got a spare tire unless someone stole it. But I don't know if it's got air in it or not. Just take a chance that if I need it, it'll work. Isn't that the way people live their lives? Time and chance happeneth to them all. Well, I'm just going to take a chance on this. I believe it's worth taking a chance for. I'm playing the odds. It's a gambling term, isn't it? People are gambling with a lot of things in life, but let's look at it this way, folks. We cannot afford to gamble with our souls. That's where the gambling's got to stop. We've got to be sensitive to God. We've got to be sensitive to His love, to His sacrifice that He gave for you and I. I look at the picture in the Word of God over in Luke, and it's in the other Gospels. But when I see Jesus in the garden with the disciples and going out there to pray, and He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What is that cup? What was the cup, folks? It was God's wrath against sin, and Jesus had to drink it. It's important that we conduct ourselves in a way that pleases God. Jesus loves us. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. But He had to drink the cup. He had to drink the bitter cup, the wrath of God. He had to drink it. The wrath of His Father against sin. See, that's what makes, to me, this is what makes this all the more important. Jesus, He struggled with that. He prayed 3 times about that. He didn't want to drink that cup. But nevertheless, He did, didn't He? Time and chance happeneth to them all. Well, we might take a chance with things in life. I got a sister, the only one I got left. There's only 3 of us left out of 8. Today's her 87th birthday. twice, not once, twice. In her older years, she's 87 today. Twice in her older years, she wanted to get hang something up on the wall or whatever it was, and she stood on a chair with wheels on it. And both times they went out from under. One time she broke a, I think it was a leg. Another time she hurt her shoulder. She did something. Twice. Take chances. Oh, this will only take a minute. Quick decisions. Oh, you know, I love her and I love him and or I love to do this thing. And I'm just going to take a chance on this. Folks, I'd rather know what the will of God is for me and the things that involve my soul and my life. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Taking chances. People today, maybe you got the answers. I've sought the Lord. I prayed, Lord, what is it? What is it? Why are people just going on with their heads down, bound and determined to live life the way they want to live it, don't want to listen to nobody or no thing, don't even want to read your word, don't even want, they can sit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their life, and I've seen it, I mean, in the services, and still reject God. What is it? Do they tell themselves, or are they convinced that I'm right? Now, I don't want to lose you here, but I'm going to move on to something else. I want to move on to conviction. Something that has really been concerning me for the last several years. The Lord has been dealing with me with is conviction. Not conviction, not just conviction on the sinner, but conviction on the saint. What kind of a heart will God have mercy on? Broken and a contrite heart. This may be a little strong for some of you. But I'm going to tell you, if you've been saved for 50 years, you're in maybe even greater danger than those that have only been saved for 10. Because you can get yourself so complacent and in a place to think, I've got this and I've got it made, and the devil will see to it that some way, somehow, he will trip you up. Folks, I don't care how old you are, how long you've been saved, you better have conviction upon your heart. You better be convinced that when the Word of God goes forth and the Holy Spirit is anointing and blessing that, you better have conviction on your heart that you are in the place where God wants you to be. Oh, I'll deal with this later. I've seen people deal with things later. I've seen people that didn't deal with things later. You remember when the Apostle Paul was before Felix and he was testifying to Felix and he reasoned of righteous temperament and the judgment to come. Peter was trembling. Folks, I've seen people in services. I've seen them shaking and trembling when the altar call was given, knowing that they needed to be saved, shaking and trembling. And this Felix was trembling, and he says, he sent Paul away and said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Saints, we better do business with God now. I'm not trying to unsave anybody, but I'm afraid that there's some carelessness. I'm afraid there's some complacency. I'm afraid that there's a lack of sensitivity to the needs of souls. You know, there's a song on my mind this morning, and I want us to sing it when the Lord's finished. It's called, Just As I Am. Just As I Am. Ever how you was yesterday, ever how you are today, ever you how you are tomorrow, God will take you just as you are. He'll take you. He'll take you at His altars and He'll work on you and He'll clean you up. Folks, don't let the devil put us in a place I have gone down to that altar time after time since the Lord's called me into the ministry. Let the devil put us in a place to say, oh, people is going to think this and people's going to think that. There's all kinds of reasons to come down to an altar of prayer other than sin. Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. I've been careless. I have let down here. I knew to do that, and I didn't do it. Folks, be very careful. It's a warning. Be very careful. Once the Lord imputes that unto us as sin, we better take care of something. We better take care of it. Don't let it get that far. As the old fellow said, giving his little speech, some people are setting on their blessed assurance. Well, I've known this all my life. I've known this for you. I've done this and I've done that. Folks, what'd you do today? What'd you do yesterday? Are your prayers still fervent? Do you still feel the presence of God? Do you still feel like He's got His approval on your life? We heard last Sunday morning about trouble. You're going to have trouble, folks. And we need the Lord, every one of us. We need Him to guide us. We need Him to direct us. After all, He's the one that loves us. He cares about us. Do we still hear? This is kind of personal to us. Do we still hear the voice of God? When's the last time you heard a voice? Heard the voice? Do you recognize it? Do we still hear His voice? Do you know there's going to be people at the judgment in eternity that's going to hear the voice of God for the first time because they never listened to it before? We better listen to it. I put myself right in this whole mix, folks. I want to make heaven. I'm desperate to get there. But I want everybody else to make it too. But if you don't, I don't want to miss it. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I've had experiences of watching people be careless in their life. I've seen people lose their lives and lose their souls. And you say, Brother Larry, you're making judgment. No. They lost their lives and they lost their souls. They went out of here too quick. Too quick. That man that was standing there trembling a week or two later went out into eternity in a car accident. He told the ministers after service when they talked to him, I'm going to do that one of these days. Folks, if there's anything we need to do, we better get it done. It's not time to play the odds with our souls. We live in a broken world, folks. The only hope we got is this one that loves us genuinely. It's the only hope we got. It's the only way out of here, folks, to an eternal existence with the Lord, is to plead His mercy and to plead His love for you and I. The Bible tells us that when God created man, He breathed in him the breath of life. Breath. What is breath? It's spirit. Spirit is breath, and breath is spirit. And when God created us, He gave us a part of Him. And over in the book of Job, in the 32nd chapter, I believe it's the 7th or 8th verse, he said, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Folks, we don't have to take a chance if we'll listen to the Spirit of God. And we'll let the Spirit of God lead and guide us. We don't have to take chances with our souls. We may take chances and do foolish things in this world, and we've all done those. But not with our souls, folks. There's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth us understanding. We learn in the 4th chapter of John where it says, Jesus said, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God's breath, folks. He gives you and I breath. He gives you and I life. He gives you and I the ability to have animation in this life through the breath that He gives you and I. Paul said He giveth life and breath and all things. So with that said, I want to look at a scripture in Hebrews. Sure is familiar to us, I'm sure. Hebrews 4 and 12, the Word of God. Folks, I don't know about you. There's a lot of reference books out there. There's a lot of books of recipes and how to make different food dishes and all those kind of things. There's even books out there that have recipes on how to live a holy life, but there ain't none that tops this one right here. There ain't none that even compares with this one right here. You and I have breath. You and I have spirit today. You and I are going to be held accountable and responsible for how we handle that, aren't we? It says the Word of God is quick. It's alive. And it's powerful. I don't know of anything. The Word of God and love, folks, they're powerful. They'll work in your heart. They'll work in your life. They'll make you a success for the Lord if you let them. If you allow them. They'll lead you to victory. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. And it's sharper. Ooh. Cuts. Then a two-edged sword, it cuts both ways, doesn't it? Brother Donald Sharp used to tell us, our little congregation, the Lord has healing balm. If the Word steps on your feet, the Lord has healing balm for sore feet. Folks, it isn't the feet that God wants. He wants our hearts. And the Word of God goes right down to that place. Even piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You know, I've had people ask me before, how can you divide soul and spirit? There's a difference. There's a difference. The soul that God gave every one of us is eternal. The spirit is not. The spirit that we have right here today is the breath that He breathed in us to be able to live life in this world. It's the connection that God gave you and I here in this world to be able to have fellowship with Him. To be able to know Him, to understand Him, to follow Him. The Spirit is what He gave us to do that. But He said the word piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now the joints and the marrow, which we find in the bones, they have different functions. Yet both of them are part of the human bone structure. This is the metaphor that Paul gave us here. And he says, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thoughts and intents are activities of the mind. And while the soul and the spirit are distinct in function, some people have a hard time separating soul and spirit in their mind. Lord help us all. Their character, the soul and the spirit, their character is not fleshly. It's spiritual. See, we're a two-part being. We're fleshly and we're spiritual. We're body and we're soul. But in activity, these things that Paul is mentioning to you and I have a different function. Remember, Paul told us in one place, he prayed that the whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, every one of those, soul, mind, and body, that's what Jesus gave His life for. That's what He shed His blood for the healing of the soul, the mind, and the body. And you and I are responsible through the Spirit and through the Word of God to keep those things holy and blameless before God. Keep them that way. The children of Israel got in trouble every time when they got careless. Every time when they rested on their lees. Every time when they reached out to things that they shouldn't reach out to. God forsook them and many of them were destroyed. Folks, may God bless the church of God today. I know that it's not going to go down. I know that it's not going to be destroyed. It was founded on a rock. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus. But you and I are responsible every day, every week, every month, every year. We go to meetings here. We go to meetings there. We sit under the word over here. We sit under the word over there. What is it doing for us? What is it doing for me? Is there really any growth? Is there really any difference? Oh, I've heard people say, not so much me, but I've heard people say about other ministers, they sit and listen to the word and they go out and say, boy, that was a wonderful message. Was it? What are you doing with it? What benefit did it really have to your soul? Or did it just sound good to your ears? That's what the Lord told, was it Ezekiel? He said, you're as one of them that I forget how he said it now. Yeah, you're just a lovely song. Saints, let's be careful. I say these things because I love the body of Christ. I love the saints. I love God's people. I love souls. Let us be careful that as we go from week to week and we deal with circumstances from one week to another in this life, let us be careful that when we hear the word of God, it's not just a lovely song. Lord, I want you to help me. That's the way to do it. Lord, help me to apply this to me, to my heart. Lord, help what I just heard make a difference in my life. Help it to cause growth and development and understanding and maturity and all those things that I need to be successful and to be faithful in the kingdom of God, that I can bear the fruit that others can see Jesus, the one that died for us, the one that loves us. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Have you ever done something? Maybe you younger ones aren't there yet, but have you ever done something and when you did it, you said, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Because you didn't think about it. You didn't give it consideration. You just acted on the spur of the moment. People, as saints of God, we cannot fly by the seat of our pants. We've got to have something solid. We've got to have something that will hold us stable, that will give us stability and give us the strength. We've got to have the wisdom of God as well as the grace of God. We've got to have the grace of God as well as the knowledge of God. A lot of people got knowledge, but they don't have the grace to apply it and live it in their life. Oh, this thing is so serious to me. There's nothing in my life that's any more serious than my soul. There's nothing in my heart, really, that is more serious than God's work and God's people and lost souls. That ought to be a burden for every one of us. The Word of God reaches right down into the inner secrets, doesn't it? Jesus told us in one place, nothing, there is a day coming, nothing will be covered. Nothing will be hid. But everything will be open and exposed. It reaches into the inner secrets of our mind. I don't know what you're thinking right now. You know, that's okay. God does. He knows right where I'm living. He knows what I did last night. He knows what I did this morning. He knows what I did last week. Folks, it's time to be sure that we are genuine in our walk with the Lord. Genuine. Anything else isn't going to get it. It's just not going to get it. We can't hide our excuses or our pretense from God. You can hide them from me and it doesn't matter to me. But you're not going to give an account to me. You're going to give an account to God. We're all responsible to God, aren't we? And we need to be open with Him. We need to be very open with the Lord. Because we're going to give an account to Him one of these days. I want to use one more scripture, I believe. Trying to decide how the Lord wants to go here. But I think one more scripture ought to pretty much do it. The 24th chapter, Matthew, you've heard it time and again. Well, Lord help us, we'll try to bring it a little bit out this morning. Matthew 24 and verse 37, but as in the days of Noah. Now you know this is, in my Bible, it's in red. Meaning that Jesus gave this little sermon. He gave this little instruction and this little warning. As the days of Noah was, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, they were carrying on the normal cares of life, normal course of life, which is acceptable. We're all carrying on the normal course of life. But folks, we can't take chances with the main man. And that's our soul. Can't take chances with that. No matter how busy life gets. But they were all busy carrying on the course of life without heeding. Without heeding the impending judgment. Does that sound familiar? He said, for as the days, they eating and drinking merry, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the Bible tells us that Noah was warning the people. He was a preacher of righteousness, it said. But somehow in his day, they were so full of wickedness. The Bible says he was angry that he even made man. They were so full of wickedness, they seemed to have lost their sensitivity toward God. It makes me believe, as I read this, that this last generation will be no different. And be totally unprepared for the coming of the Son of Man. That's frightening to me. It is. Because let me tell you something. We can put this on the world if you want to. You can put it on the world. You can put it on those next door and those out in community. But I'm talking about us. Brother Asta said years ago, the parable of virgins, he said half of us are going to make it. We're all responsible for ourselves. I can stand up here and I can preach these mighty pious things and I can go out there and live my life, a shabby life, and God is going to know about it. He's going to know about it. And He'll determine whether I make it or not. But it seems that this last generation is going to be totally unprepared. Totally unprepared for the coming of the Lord. And I can't think of a greater tragedy than all of that. It's a tragedy. I hear a lot of ridiculous and sad things, but that's a tragedy. And you know why that is? The main reason. I've mentioned this to two or three people this past week. I said, what is it we're supposed to do? They look at me like I got two heads. I said, it says, the whole duty of man is to fear God. Folks, we better check our fear of God. All of us. Getting down before God, trembling in prayer. Folks, I want to tell you, this came to me in Sunday school from what I heard in Sunday school this morning. But I thought about the children of Israel, how they offered up their sacrifices and put their lambs on the altar and all these blood sacrifices that was offered till it came to the place where God says, I don't want your sacrifices anymore. I won't accept your sacrifices anymore. Lord, help us today, folks. I do believe that we are the people of God. And I do believe that we cannot take God for granted. And that every time that I go down in prayer, if I've got conflict in my life, if I've got wrong in my life, if I've got deceitfulness in my life, God's not going to just accept that prayer just because I bend my knee. He's not going to accept it. Away with your sacrifices. I won't accept them anymore. It all comes down, doesn't it, where you and I are living before God. It all comes down to that. Because the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me tell you, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm not above that. That sword cuts. That sword cuts. And it cuts both ways. There's been a many a time that we have had to humble down, isn't it? Many times we've had to humble down and say, Lord, I really thought I was doing right. I really thought that was the right way. But Lord, I'm sorry. You showed me my wrong. You showed me where I went astray. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to go to heaven. And I want you to forgive me. You know, I want to finish with this thought. In this world, if in this life we just have a few years of laughing and crying, and I'm learning now more of it's crying, seems like, than laughing. But we just have a few years and then it's all over and darkness comes down upon us. I think we could say like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I got a hope today and it's bright. Because it's in the one that loves me. And I know he loves me and he's not going to do anything to change that. If there's any changing done, it'll be me that changes it. And I know he loves me. And my hope is bright. Because I believe Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly to every one of us. I thank the Lord for his love. I thank the Lord for his mercy and for his goodness. You know, sometimes I can almost, call it discernment, maybe it's just, I think I do, I don't know, but it seems like sometimes when I hear the Word of God go forth, I can look around and I can see some folks convinced they don't need that. That may be the way the preacher feels, but I see it a different way. Folks, that's so dangerous. That's so dangerous. Paul said to follow me as I follow Christ. I don't want anybody following me, that's for sure. But I want you to follow Jesus. I want you to follow Jesus. He set the precedent of a holy and a godly life right here on this earth. He set the precedent. He set the standard. You say, what is the standard? Christ and all that he was. You say, I'm a Christian. People today have so watered down what a Christian is. I was thinking when Brother Marty was preaching here last Sunday, I was looking at these flowers right here. He's talking a little bit about religion. I said to myself, that's religion. Now you can bring up here a pot that looks just like that with real live flowers in it. That's salvation. You ever go in a house that someone, they don't do it so much anymore, got a big bowl on the dining room table and it's full of fruit and you go pick it up and there's no weight to it and it's all wax and plastic and all that stuff. It's not real. That's religion. Saints, we can't afford to rest on religion. We need that bowl of fruit with real apples and real oranges and real bananas and real grapes. Real fruit. The Lord wants real fruit. He wants you and I to be real, genuine, not just throw away His sacrifice that He gave for you and I. Not trample over that sacrifice. You and I, like it or not, folks, we are the most responsible people in this earth when it comes to the Word of God. Now that makes me fear and tremble from just saying that. We're responsible. We're responsible for how we handle this. We're responsible for how we handle this. Ourselves. We're responsible. You don't have to. We don't give an account to one another here. I didn't put you in the church and I can't put you out of the church. That's all left up to you and the Lord and how you live your life and conduct yourself. Lord, help us today. I want to say I'm not going to apologize for what I said, but please, I'm not trying to be harsh. Not trying to be harsh at all. My burden for the church is very deep. That's very great. And I know, Brother Marty preached last Sunday afternoon, devil rock us to sleep. Don't go to sleep, saints. We have a responsibility here. We got something that we need to hold in high esteem. We need to hold this in high esteem. And we want everybody that will to come into it, accept it and receive it and believe it. And accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we sing 358? You know, I like for everybody to put aside any thoughts. As the Lord deals with us today, He's dealing with me. Put aside the thoughts, what are people going to say? What are people going to think? What are you going to think? If you leave out of here and you didn't make something right with the Lord and have an accident on the way home and find yourself in eternity, what are you going to think? Really makes it personal. Really makes it serious, folks. Just as I am. He'll take us just as we are right now. And He'll change and make new anything that we need changed. Anything that needs to be made new. He's the one. He's the only one that can do it. Just as I am. Let's sing that song, please. Thank you for your time and attention.